What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the Eagles climbed the mountain last year. So hopefully they can climb that mountain again. Training camp tomorrow. All right, let me ask a ridiculous question, but I'm going to ask it because I'm in a ridiculous mood. Who would you prefer win the next championship in Philadelphia sports? James?
That's really simple.
So it's a great question.
We should make that a poll question someday.
No, because look, I've never seen a Flyers or Sixers championship, so right. My gut immediately goes, I've never seen it. Mm-hmm. The baseball is my favorite sport. It's been 15 years. The Phillies, you know. And then, but how could that trump getting a chance to see back-to-back titles for the first time in my life? The only time in my life. It's a phenomenal question.
The other thing, though, if you go Phils, is two titles in the same year.
Yeah. That was a great point. Another great point.
Which we've never had.
Yes.
So is your answer a non-answer?
Yes.
I have an answer.
No answer.
All right, Rhea, what's your answer?
It's the Phillies because they're the next up.
They're next. Yeah, good answer. Yes. I'll go with Rhea. I'm with Rhea.
I mean, it's pretty simple.
Well, let's say three of the four don't win in their next chance. So you're still picking the Phils?
I'm just saying, right? You're asking the question. You love to argue semantics. I've learned that about you.
Fair enough. All right, John, your preference?
Back-to-back Super Bowls, back-to-back 2K Saquon seasons.
I will say this. I would like to enjoy a Philly season more than we are. Like, for a good team, it's been a little bit.
It has not been enjoyable.
It really hasn't. I mean, it's affected my enjoyment of, like, the regular season because everyone's in such a bad mood.
Why? Yes, and we can do a better job with that. I do believe that. And I think the offensive excitement that will be generated with Bryce coming out the gates for this second half, I do think that's going to give us a little extra oomph generate a little more excitement about the baseball
of
game.
Everything that happened in the last, 5 days, 7 days since we were all together. I think Bryce's resurgence is the most important.
Such a massive deal.
And yeah. It's also the way he's talked about the injury. Like, also, he talked about himself. Right. I've never heard him be like, he's like this, pumping himself up.
I've
I'm
never
the best.
Heard this level of confidence.
It's wild. But that aside, just he said multiple times, my wrist hasn't felt this good in a year, this and that. Like, it seems like he really feels good.
Right.
Which is so big because
he feels so
we've
good.
We've seen it. Like, it's
he's
bothered him.
He's talking about it.
Yeah.
He feels so good.
Right.
It's a new level of excitement for him.
Well, and to
so
me,
much so he can't even contain it. He's talking about it, and I'm thrilled because I do believe
it's so
this
important.
Is a new level of preparedness.
Yeah.
He recognizes that, and that's why he's so willing to talk and say, "Hey, I'm gonna go win this thing."
It struck me with Trout being in town that it happened then. And I'm not saying it's connected at all. What I'm telling you is
passing the torch type thing.
No, not so much that. When we talk about Bryce's physical decline, which there's been some, I often reference guys like Griffey. Like that, my mind just goes back to like when I was younger, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. And I always say, I don't want the Griffey situation like when he went to the Reds and like, he didn't have the legs anymore and he became like half the player he used to be. And like Pujols is another example, right? Pujols was all-time. I mean, Ruben, all-timer, goes to the Angels, one or two good years, and then like seven or eight just drifting years. And you don't want seven or eight drifting years from Bryce. And that's what the Angels are getting from Trout. Like Trout's not Trout anymore. And we were fearful that Bryce might not be Bryce anymore. But what we saw Friday and Saturday night is he still could be someone that is right there with Saquon for best player in the city.
You know what,
like, he certainly can be that.
And when I'm watching him hoof it, I mean, full speed around the base paths, I don't remember if it was Friday or Saturday night, I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to blow out a hammy.
Running
to second, right?
Yeah, I remember
maybe,
that.
Yeah.
He was moving.
He was running as fast as I've ever seen him run in a Phillies uniform. That excited me, but it also terrified me because now I assume that, something's going to break down.
I was glad he turned it loose.
I'm glad, too.
Yeah.
Because now we, and again, the fact that he's talking about it, the fact that he's talking about how good he feels, that suggests a new level of, feeling that good. I don't know what, The rest and everything else, we should just count our blessings here. Thank our lucky stars.
All right, with that said, I don't want to misconstrue here. Like, there's a lot of negatives with the Phils, including they lost 2 or 3 to the Angels. And they're 20-21 in their last 41 games. I mean, it's not been an inspiring brand of baseball for many stretches of this season, which is weird because they're in first place. But, all right, so biggest thing that stood out to you the last couple of days, what is it? Also, let me give you three different. Seltzer, can I give an announcement but also say all three are to be determined?
Yeah.
Does that count as an announcement?
I'll allow it, sure.
All right, to be determined announcement number one. Me and Fritz in tennis is going to happen soon. We don't know when. I think next week.
Let's go.
I think we'll be ready to announce that tomorrow. Number two.
Do we know if it's going to be available to the public to view yet?
I believe it will be.
I believe, yes.
I believe it will be, but I cannot confirm nor deny. I'm
just trying to get
the
facts out there.
Have I told you that I'm offering my services as a ball man? I don't know.
Well, first off, it's called a ball boy.
Ball boy.
Well, I'm a ball, but I'm a man now. I'm 50.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can be called a ball boy.
I don't know.
We used to have that distinction when we were, I was a bat boy. I used to say, I'm sort of a bat man.
Yeah. I mean, I do have experience as a ball boy, tennis-wise.
And he got in a lot of trouble.
So now I'm offering my expertise as a ball boy, now as a grown-up ball man.
Okay, that's interesting. Okay. Yeah. All right, I appreciate that.
Keep your phone on, we'll call you.
All right, yeah. Second announcement that's to be determined, training camp. So we know we'll be doing shows from training camp, which starts tomorrow. What we don't know yet is the days. But know this, over the next 2 to 3 weeks, we certainly anticipate that there'll be any number of shows that we'll do from training camp, which are shows we love, gives us our eyes on the players, also gives us to talk to the players, and gives you a chance to hear from the players with interviews. Don't know the days yet, but we'll get that ironed out soon, and when we do, we'll let you know. Those are shows we really enjoy, and hopefully you enjoy. Third thing, smarter than a 12th grader. Seltzer, where are we on that?
So I've got some potential candidates. I'm rounding it up. We need to pick a day and a time, essentially, and I can take it from there.
So let me get to you later today off the air, but I'm thinking next week.
Yep.
And that'll give whomever a chance to get in here, and we'll get that.
We can work it out.
Yeah. So what's the final call, James, for people interested? A really smart 12th grader to beat me?
Yeah, email me, james.seltzer@odyssey.com.
And we're looking for a rising 12th grader.
Correct, yep.
Who can beat me in general trivia, which will be no sports.
No sports, yep. It'll be English and math and social studies and science and all that type of stuff.
And your 12th grader gets to come in at WIP.
Hang out and, look, this is like a no-lose situation in the sense that You've won every one. Like, they are actually coming in as, let's just have some fun.
But now that the kids are a little older, I might humiliate. I mean, Ruben, like, I had to take it easy when they're in fifth grade. But now, I mean, I might go mode. I mean, if I beat a 12th grader, why hold back?
Go ahead.
I mean, a 12th grader,
tweeters,
if you're 18 years old, you can be in war.
It's a lesson. This is the real world coming.
If you can be in war, then, say,
bang!
Just saying.
Wow.
Go ahead. I'm just putting that out there. Yeah. I'm just putting that out there. All right, phones on all of this.
I'm just happy it's out there now.
So all right, Joseph and Yaden. Joe, good morning.
Oh, God. Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hi, Joe.
What a start to the call. And oh, gosh, but then a good pivot by you. You got it back on track, Joe. What's going on, pal?
Well, long story short, I'm taking my daughter, she has special needs to school, so with her right now. But I could get this in real quick. Regarding Hurts, I'm going to say something really odd, unusual. I agree with you. I think he's a very good quarterback, not a great quarterback because of players around him. Now, this year, to me, will basically be the turning point how good he really will be. How would you feel about that?
Well, to give us another window, I mean, the next couple of years will. But look, hopefully he, shines massively. I mean, he played his best at the end of last year.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's many people, including James, who thinks He could be an MVP this year. He could be. We'll see.
Really, I mean, got to show you something this year. Can he win the Super Bowl MVP twice in the same game?
Yeah, we got to learn. I don't know if you can win with him, in the same calendar year, more or less.
Well, you can't win twice
pretty
in the same calendar.
Well, it depends
year.
What date the Super Bowl is. If it's
No, like he's the, making a joke.
Not
could
in the same
the
calendar
Bowl
year.
Well, not in the same, in the same 12-month. Yeah, not calendar year. Wrong phrase. My bad.
Somehow he's got to prove something to us, James.
Yeah, calendar year was the wrong phrase.
Anyway, all right, Joe, what do you got on the Phillies?
The Phillies, again, they're a bunch of straight-up players. That's what it is. Pitching wins you games 10 out of 10 times. Now, lately, the starting pitcher has been hammered. So, again,
it's not. You know what? Let me tell you why it's not 10 out of 10. Let me talk about Roy Halladay, Game 5 versus the Cardinals. A game, Ruben, for you that was like the end of the greatness. He gave up.
End of my job.
Well, yeah, 3 or 4 years later. But
in essence.
He gave up one run.
Good morning.
You know why they lost that game? Because no one hit. You lost the game. You lost
They hit, but they couldn't hit it out. And the ball wasn't carrying.
You know what I'm saying, though.
I get it.
I mean, you lost the game 1-0.
Carpenter threw a hell of a game.
Of course he played a great game, but the hitters weren't as good anymore.
And everybody knew if you gave up, if Roy Halladay gave up one run, they were losing that game.
So I don't agree with that.
I just know how we felt going into it.
If you said to me before the game, Joe, do you take the other team scores one run? I say yes, because my team's probably going to score two or more. But they didn't.
I remember in the lead up to that game, we were begging Charlie to change the lineup. They couldn't hit. I just remember the feeling going into that game. If he gave up one run, they were screwed.
Well, we were also scared after game four. I mean, you know, losing game two, losing game four. Yeah. It was just, you know, the whole thing felt scary. All right, Joe, give me an answer. Who or what is often linked together?
Well, one quick point. My wife and I and daughter went to Lancaster County to see a concert at the Great American Theater with the Association and the Buckinghams. You want to hear people sing well in their late 70s and their 80s? It's tremendous.
How about that? All righty.
Yes.
All right, who's linked together?
I have one or two people I'm thinking of. I think, you know what? Richie and Harry.
Oh, that's a good answer.
It's a great answer.
That is. All right, no, hold on. You get to get more answers here, Joe, because we're looking for the all-century NFL team.
Oh, God.
Okay, now, James gets the first pick in this new round. And, James, you get to pick the position of which there are 9 left. Here's what's left. Tight ends, offensive tackles, centers, inside linebackers.
I thought we did tight ends.
No, we didn't. It was referenced, but we didn't do it.
No, we did it. We did tight ends.
We did tight ends.
My fault.
You are doing a horrible job with this.
I don't like the job that you've done.
I got too much. I need a Vanna White to help me out here.
You're supposed to be organized.
Corners, safeties, kickers, punters, and returners. Seltzer, pick a category.
I will go with, let's go with inside linebackers.
Inside linebackers, which is a juicy category. All right, now, James, you get the first pick here for inside linebackers, all century. Who are you looking at? A couple starters and a bunch of backups.
Ray Lewis.
That is obviously one of the starters. 2 points for James Seltzer. John, we go to you, inside linebacker.
Man, as a starter...
2 points for a starter, 1 point for a backup.
Derek Brooks.
Derek Brooks is one of the backups. That's 1 point for John. All right, Joe, give me an inside linebacker.
I have no clue. You got me.
Joe, we appreciate the call. Rhea?
Oh, I'm struggling with who to pick on this one.
Some very good players available.
Urlacher?
Yes, he's a backup, which surprised me a little bit. So 1 point for Rhea Seltzer. Who do you got?
Luke Kuechly.
He is the other starter. Even though he had a fairly short career.
That's why I didn't go with him.
I don't like that.
I mean, but during that, he was amazing.
I know, but I think he only played like eight or nine years.
Yeah, I think 8 years.
All right, so we got a couple backups left. John Ritchie, who do you got?
Zach Thomas.
No. He was part last decade, last century. Part that. All right, John's out of this round. Rhea, what do you got?
Bobby Wagner.
Yes. It's another point for Rhea. Seltzer, who do you got?
Clay Matthews.
No. Rhea, you're the only one left. There are 3 players left.
Oh, God.
Inside linebacker. This century. 3.
Won't play for the Eagles.
2.
Zach Bond.
1. No. All right.
So my other guesses were, is Patrick Willis on there?
Yes.
Ah. Damn it. And I had James Harrison. Was he on there?
No. He could have been.
And my last one was Fred Warner. Did Fred Warner make it?
No. The other two were Navarro Bowman, who was outstanding, and Urlacher, who I thought would be a starter.
I said Urlacher.
Yeah, she said Urlacher. She got the point for
it. I just didn't cross
off. Levante David is a good one.
Yeah. All right, so Rhea, you come up to 13 points.
Okay.
James is at 17. John, that was a tough round for you. You're at 15, and the callers are at 6. All right. So it's really a 3-way battle, as I expected it would be. All right, MB, let's just touch on this because it's the first time for a few of us we've had a chance to comment on this article from ESPN. It's sort of the whole thing. So, incredible article. Kudos to the writer. You did a great job. I actually really, because I've heard some criticism of the writer when people have said they don't know quite what his point was with the article. I've heard that said by a few people. And I actually appreciate that the author kind of didn't have a conclusionary point. Meaning, the way I interpret it, the piece, and it was longer than War and Peace.
49 minutes and 57 seconds. We had Vonnie time herself reading it.
It was wild.
It was really
so wild. I think one of the strengths, like the biggest strength of the article is you find out new stuff. Mostly through quotes from Embiid, but then some other stuff that's not from Embiid quotes. You find out new stuff, which in this day and age is rare sometimes. So I thought that was the biggest strength. But I thought a sub-strength of the article was that the writer lets you, us, all of us, as sports fans, draw our own conclusions.
That doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. I agree with you on that point.
It wasn't like, so in summation, it was like, here's the stuff, make of it what you will. So I thought it was a really strong article. All right, what are my conclusions from what I read, which was all of it? The first thing was incredible how deep-rooted and long-standing Joel's lack of trust in the organization's been.
Amazing.
That was stunning to me. I mean, to know that as early as before he played a game for the Sixers, he had all of this doubt about the Sixers organization, their hierarchy, and the way they were running things is incredible. Incredible. And not good. That's number one. Number two, how it's impacted the present and recent years. Like, he clearly has mistrust of the physical side of things with the organization, whether it's the doctors, the trainers, whomever. And it seems like that continues to play a role in how he does or does not do things in conjunction with them. So that's not good. I don't think Embiid in the article with his quotes takes enough responsibility. Now, I do think he makes a number of points that are valid, very valid. But I do think he still leaves himself too often an escape hatch to abdicate responsibility, and I find that really frustrating. You know, he talks about, kind of like, don't think that today I'm wired the same way I was when I was really young. Well, I wish he would define, John, when did that change happen? Like, is he saying that happened 7 years ago, or is he saying that he got more serious 2 years ago?
I think it was with the birth of his son that he points to that. Maybe moment often.
Yeah, he didn't in the article, but he has said that before. But my point is, well, you really wasted some good years. I mean, there were some good years with like Jimmy Butler and all that that happened before that. So I can't like let you off the hook for that. I do find Embiid to be a sympathetic figure, but I also know he's caused some of this himself. I also think this next thing has gotten way lost in translation and is important to remember. And I think most people have kind of forgotten it. The injury he suffered versus Golden State in January 2024 changed everything. Changed everything. I mean, he was playing the best basketball of his life, and then that guy fell on him in Golden State, and then he rushed back for the Knicks series and has never been the same. And so we can talk about whether he was in proper shape when he was 18 and he wasn't, or 22 and he probably wasn't. But I also think, like, for our Twitter poll, which, by the way, is brought to you by Armin Chevrolet, Armin's annual sizzling summer sales and savings event is on now. Visit ArminChevy.com for details. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. Poll question, which do you think is the bigger factor with Joel Embiid's physical decline and injury history? Which are sort of two different things. The injury history, I mean, some of that has nothing to do with today. Like him getting his face broken a couple times has nothing to do with his knee today. So we're combining injury history and physical decline. Which do you think is the bigger factor? A, it's his fault. Because of bad condition and all that sort of stuff. B, it's bad luck. I lean to bad luck.
I amazingly, because you know I haven't been a fan of his for a long time. Bad luck for a specific reason, because when we talked about it when it came out last week with John and with TK, I said if he had been drafted by a different team, his career might have turned out far differently. And Ruben, you know this. Culture of an organization is just as important as getting the most talented. Now, in this story, he says that his rehab in his first 2 years was overseen by an intern. I don't believe that. I believe I believe somebody was like telling the intern was saying, you got to be at rehab at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There was not an intern taking care of his rehab. But what it's clear to me is they kind of let him do his own thing. They coddled him. A different organization would have been all on top of him. And they never have been.
Well, look, I agree with you. I'll say this. To what they used to be, let's remember, when he joined them, they were practicing at PCOM walking through a freaking parking lot of students to go to practice.
And again, I will point out.
I mean, it was kind of a joke.
And they went to the finals going to that place.
No, they did.
Okay,
but it was also 1 year in a bunch.
I'm just saying that, you know, the organization since Sam Hinkie and every collection that's since then has created this atmosphere.
Yeah, no,
with Joel.
I agree.
Although I'm not the biggest fan, but yeah. I don't think that they've handled it well.
Well, they haven't. So, look, I think it's more bad luck than his fault, but clearly it's some of both. And it was a fascinating article. I mean, I credit to the author for getting those quotes. There's some figures in Philly sports that you just want the as close to a tell-all someday as you can get. This is the closest we've gotten. It's not tell-all, but it told a lot. Like, I'd love to hear from Andy Reid someday. I kind of feel like we will never get the deepest dive from Andy on the 14 years because he's done so much since leaving here. It's like, is he ever going to come back and open up the whole thing for 3 hours and say, let me tell you all this? Like,
why would he? Yeah.
Why would he? Like,
there's no reason.
Guys, Brett Brown's been gone 6 or 7 years. He's never, not one time, commented on the record about anything. So, I don't know, man. I think the reality is this Sixers thing is obviously not good. And, you know, we can all get mesmerized by what Embiid could have been, but probably never will be again. And that's like tragic, honestly. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Steve and Trenton right now. Steve, good morning.
Hey, guys. Welcome back, Joe and James. How are you today?
We're good, Steve. We're having fun today, man.
Yeah. So, anyway, I got a question for Ruben. Is Stott and Marsh on the trading block?
Wow, what a question.
I don't think so, but it's possible.
Yeah, I hope to God they get rid of one of them, and they probably get something for a center fielder for if they traded both of them. You know what I mean? I that's my feeling. We need a spark, and I don't know what's taking Dombrowski so long. You don't have to wait till the day of the trade deadline, correct, Ruben? I don't get it. This team is totally boring to watch, hitting wise.
For those who think that Dave Dombrowski's not pounding the pavement, you're sorely mistaken. He does his job as well as anybody. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and there's a reason why. The man knows talent. He understands. He's won. He understands it. It's not about, you know, why is it taking so long? It's taking so long because it takes two or three to tango.
Yeah. And also,
it's a hard thing to do. It's so difficult to make trades. It is really, really tough to make a trade.
Right. And, Steve, part of it also is the team that's going to sell. They know that typically the price will go up the closer you get to the trade deadline because people will put the most cards on the table they're willing to put. I mean, like if I'm willing to offer X today, you know, if you're the other squad, you could say, well, if you're going to offer X today, you'll probably offer X plus more next week. So everyone, Ruben, your deals always were happening July 29th, if you remember. 3 straight years, you made a deal on July 29th, but it's usually 29, 30, 31. That's when the action happens. That's the way it goes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And it'll be just as late, and they will be, you know, throwing those emails at the commissioner's office for approval very, very late at the deadline.
Incredible. All right, Steve, couple things I need from you. One is who or what is often linked together?
How about bacon and eggs?
Bacon and eggs are linked together. There's no question. Also, Steve, you get the first pick here. For NFL All-Century Team, 25 years into pro football, we got 7 positions left. I'm going to give you the...
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? On the podcast What We Spend, guests will, for 1 week, tell us everything they spend their money on.
My son slammed $6 worth of blueberries in 5 minutes.
And everything that makes them feel.
I want to own a house. I want to have a child. But this morning, I really wanted a coffee.
Because at the end of the day, money is always about more than your balance. Listen to and follow What We Spend, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Safeties. Okay, so you get first pick, Steve, on a... Dawkins is a second teamer. According to this article.
Wrong.
It's very close because the three of them were great. Rhea, you get the next pick.
Then it's got to be Polamalu.
Polamalu was one of the starters. James, you get the next pick.
Ed Reed.
Ed Reed is the other starter. John, you get to obviously try to come up with some of the backups. John, you got kind of screwed at this position.
Repeatedly, by
the way. Well, last position, you got to pick the freaking first and
the
position.
Okay, one position I got first. You're right.
Okay. There's two safeties left, John. All-century. Backups.
Earl.
Yes. Ooh. One point for John Ritchie. And then, Steve, you got one crack at it. There's one name left.
No, I'm mad on that one.
All right, buddy. Steve, stay well. Rhea, who do you got?
John Lynch.
Yes.
Yes.
That's who I was going to guess.
Stanford boy?
Rhea's up to 16. Seltzer's up to 19.
I've had to pick a lot of people I hate.
John's up to 16. I know. Callers are at 7. All right. James, is John getting screwed here or not? Because he's complaining quite a bit.
I don't know. I'm trying to not take this too seriously.
John, we embarrassed ourselves along the offensive line. You crushed us. I mean, we had nothing.
All right. We'll give John the first pick next time. That's going to quiet his belly aching. I'll say this. There's two positions where I think who's number one is obvious, like really obvious.
I agree with you.
And so if you pick that position, you can get a two-pointer quite easy.
I agree with you.
Two positions. I'm just going to say that. All right. Matter of fact, three positions if you actually think about it. Steve is with us right now. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. How's everyone? It's my first time calling.
Hey. Oh, it's awesome. Thank you for calling us, Steve.
Welcome aboard the show, Steve.
Yeah, I definitely think the Sixers failed in beat from day one, so...
Well, they did. He failed them a bit as well, but I think they failed him much more, frankly.
Also, I wanted to touch on the Phillies. Following them this year, I noticed like the center field and left field position is just terrible.
It's brutal.
Minor league.
It's horrible. Yeah.
They definitely need an upgrade in center field and left field. I've been arguing with friends about trading the farm, but I think it's time to cash them in.
You know, it's going to be fascinating to find out if they do, Steve. I mean, we found out from Middleton this past weekend, that they really tried last year and didn't get Crochet. But very notable that he said they tried. I mean, that frankly, Dombrowski put more on the table than he was really, like, comfortable doing. But he did it anyway. And they still didn't get the guy. So that was something. All right, Steve, give me who or what is often linked together.
Jordan and LeBron.
To an extent, they are. Okay. That's true, somewhat. All right, John.
Yeah, we're talking,
John, after we give you the
bacon and eggs, Jordan and LeBron, we're getting away from what's always together. The always part is where we started.
I agree.
Now we're getting into sometimes they're together.
I agree with you, John.
John, you went with eggs and hot sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are always together for me.
Well, for you. All right, John, you get the first pick, but then no more belly aching because you're getting first pick twice in three rounds. All right, John, you get to pick the position and first pick.
Cornerback.
All right. There are obviously there are three starters, and there's like four or five backups. John Ritchie, go ahead.
Darrell Revis.
All-century cornerback. Mm-hmm. He is one of them. 2 points for John. All right, caller Steve. Give me a corner, Steve.
Deion Sanders.
No, he was last century. So, Steve, we appreciate you participating. Rhea, who do you got?
Richard Sherman.
That was going to be my guess.
Richard Sherman is one of the backups. Ooh. 1 point for Rhea. Wow. So there are two starters that they've got above Richard Sherman this century. Seltzer.
Patrick Peterson.
Patrick Peterson is a backup. 1 point for James Seltzer. John, you still got two starters available.
I got a... Can I ask a question where their guy is considered?
I will probably
I had the same thing. Yeah, too. Just say his name. He's going to count.
I will probably not answer the question.
Yeah. You know exactly what you're thinking of. I almost said him.
Me too.
I mean, I played with Charles
He'll be
cornerback, and he was unbelievable. Charles Woodson.
That is a starter at cornerback.
I should have guessed
it. I was afraid to go for
it. Same. I said the same thought, the safety cornerback thing.
Another two-pointer for – he played corner more than
safety. Yeah, I thought it would be there. That's
all right. Rhea, who do you got?
Champ Bailey.
Champ Bailey is the other starter.
Oh,
wow, Rhea.
Excellent job. Excellent. Who famously got traded straight up for Clinton Portis pretty early in both of their careers. That was wild. Seltzer, there's two backups left. Who do you got?
I'll go Rondae Barber.
He is, sadly, one of them.
Aww.
John, there's one cornerback left. Who is it? All century. You guys have done very well this round.
I have two in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's either a guy I played with at Michigan and against in the NFL.
You could be giving hints to the other two here.
It's a guy who's still playing.
Okay. Well, hints all over the place by John.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 3, 2, One.
Jalen Ramsey.
Correct.
That's who I would have guessed, too.
Yeah. I think that's the right one. So John gets a 5 spot in this round.
See, complaining works. Can I start complaining too? Or?
Yeah. Well, you guys are.
Can
you guys
I guess the player that you were talking about, John?
Yeah. What's that?
Was it Nnamdi?
I was thinking possibly Nnamdi, okay. But then what happened when he got
here hurt a lot.
Yeah, I think it erased his validity.
By the way, this is a very close competition through all these positions. John and James are tied at 21, and Rhea's got 19. You guys, this is
wow.
Ruben, who's going to win this thing? And by the way, I'm sorry we're skipping over. You weren't here in the 6 o'clock hour when we started.
You don't want me to,
what positions
don't want me to
are even?
I mean, you had Jason Peters on the defensive line.
I'm clueless. wow, that's it. You know what? I'm going to go with Rhea because Rhea's brilliant when it comes to history of football.
No. I love it. This is a very close competition.
What are left?
What is left are offensive tackles, centers, kickers, punters, and returners.
So I wasn't sure if they did, though. I got to make a list for those last three. I didn't have those. I've only had the other
five,
two.
Five positions left. Get thinking. Let's go to Tom in Marlton. Tom, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Joe, welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
So, first of all, I want to apologize to James. I called him the other seltzer, believe it or not, today. Sorry about that.
Wow.
So a couple things. I was watching the Phillies game yesterday and needed to stop. And then needed to go watch the short version of the Super Bowl and the playoff run of the Eagles just to feel better about myself. I mean, Suarez did not have anything yesterday.
You know, he was really brutal. On. Like he stunk yesterday. And I thought just the whole body language and
is his back bad again?
Well,
like,
the velocity the last few starts too has been a thing.
And
that
let me just say
about,
this on the pitch to Trout. I thought it was high. Like, it was close.
It was a strike.
I don't think so, Ruben. It was near the letters, man.
It was
man.
A strike.
No. If I'm the umpire, that's a ball four.
It's a strike, and he called it a strike earlier in the game.
If it's ABS, is it a strike?
It's a strike.
Okay.
Look, it was in the box.
Pitch was a strike.
But I think it was a ball. All right.
It was
how's
in the box.
Think
it was
I mean,
a ball?
He definitely got pitched.
Well, we know they don't change the box for how tall the guy is. We know
they,
that.
They move it.
So, it looked in the box on the video. But I'm telling you, I think it was at the letters, ball four.
But if it's a pitch that they call earlier in the game and they don't call it then, it's a strike.
Yeah. Well, Tom, they're...
But he did not pitch well, and he did not have a good day, and he did not make excuses. He knew that he was pitched poorly, and he said he pitched poorly.
Yeah.
Simple.
So do you expect a...
He'll be bounce back. Yeah. He'll bounce back.
Because of that, not making excuses, that gave me some confidence that the next time out, he's going to buckle down. Yeah, I feel good about what he'll do moving forward.
Yep. All right, Tom, who or what is often linked together, maybe even always linked together?
Well, you're not going to like this, but Jack and Jill went up the hill.
That's a pretty good answer.
That's
right
there. That's a good answer, yeah.
All right, Tom, Rhea's got the first pick here in the next round. Rhea, there's five positions left. Which one do you want to take on? All-century NFL. You got
did
offensive,
you say tackles?
You got offensive tackle, center, kicker, punter, returners.
I'll go tackles.
All right, tackles are obviously the ones with the most left because you got left and right tackles combined. All right, Rhea, on the offensive line for the offensive tackles, there are two starters and a bunch of backups. You get the first pick, Rhea.
Lane Johnson.
Lane Johnson is a backup for the All-Century team. One point for Rhea.
Wow.
All right. James, you get the next pick.
I'll go with Trent Williams.
Trent Williams is a starter. 2 points for James Seltzer. John, you guys are doing very well. John, you're up next.
So
is never a good
Trent,
starter.
Trent Williams.
So.
I'm just
so
trying. If there's two starters at left and two starters at right.
No.
They're all combined. All combined.
Tackles combined. There's one. There's
okay,
one
Joe
star-
Thomas then.
That was going to be my next guess.
Joe Thomas is a backup. Okay, 1 point for John. All right, Tom, you get the next tackle. Who do you got?
Runyon.
No.
You're out.
No. All right, Rhea, there's one starter left. And
Tristan Wirfs?
No. Probably hasn't played long enough. No. Yeah. It's down to James and John with this round. James, you get the next pick.
So I have two guys. I think they'll both be there. I just don't know which is the starter. I'll go with Andrew Whitworth.
No.
Ah.
John, you can haul in.
Orlando Pace.
That is a backup. Okay, so another point for John. That's okay, John, keep going.
Tyron Smith.
That's another backup.
Wow. I should have said him.
Another point for John.
Walter Jones.
He is a starter.
Oh, look at you.
2 points for Richie cleaning up on the O-line. You got two backups left.
Jason Peters.
He is another one.
That was
You're
the
welcome.
Other one I almost said
You're
there.
Welcome.
And you got one more tackle this century, all century team in pro football. John just ripping off the tackles.
Ripping them off.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Lights out for John. So this guy, I'll just give you a quick hint. I believe he was the first pick in his team's history once they moved.
First pick in his team. Oh, was it
Boselli?
Jonathan Ogden. Well, Boselli was
I
great.
I said too. Ogden.
No, you said Pace.
You said Orlando Pace. You didn't say Ogden.
I thought I said Ogden.
No, you never said Pace. You never said Ogden. That's okay.
Okay, you had a pretty good round. I wouldn't get too upset about it. Yeah, I think you just won the game with that round, so I think you're good.
I believe you. You just didn't say him.
You just won the game with that round. No worries.
John Ogden!
All right, so here's where we're at.
We should have just let John do the offensive line. He's killing, and we would have been.
Oh, that's
like,
true.
Well, since she was center left, it's over. It's over. Center is the other position left. John is definitely winning this.
All right,
well, I don't know. So here's the deal. Right now, John's got 27 points. James has 23. Riga's got 20. Callers have 7. All right. Couple positions left. We'll play with that in the 9 o'clock hour. More of what John Middleton said over the weekend about the Phils and everything going on. And also more on the trade deadline. Ruben's history with the trade deadline. Fascinating as they approach a really important one. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on a busy day, 94 WIP.
You've heard me talk about my friends at PD. POS and how their top-rated restaurant management system has helped thousands of companies in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, and casino businesses across the country. We've seen their operation. We did our show over at their headquarters year after year, and we love it. And we see the people, the technology. It's all so impressive. If you're thinking of cutting your old point of sale, it's time to go all in and revolutionize your business with PDQ POS, the game changer in the world of POS solutions. Joe Flynn and his team at PDQ have been the industry leaders for over 35 years for a reason. It's because they offer everything: mobile POS, self-service kiosks, enterprise reporting, contactless functionality, data and cybersecurity, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, they'll build a custom solution for your business. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.